Before we really get started in this, but it has to do, in the New Yorker this week, there's a cartoon, and it's of that genre of God in the clouds, you know, and an angel off to the side, just like they have genres of the guy on the desert island crawling towards the tree and all that, or in the desert crawling across the desert, but all those different genres. But it shows him, and he's looking kind of dejected, and his shoulders are slumped like this, and the angel's standing back over here, and she's kind of slumped too and kind of looking at him like this with her wings out in the back, and they're looking down on Earth. So that's Earth there, sort of like that. And he says, I'm starting to prefer the ones who don't believe in me. Now, I'm not making that a God or not God judgment at all. That's not what I'm saying. The focus is really the focus on believe and understanding that as a boxed set of firm, exclusive beliefs. It's not the notion of believe as an orientation and how to move in the world, but as I've got the answer, this is it. And this is how we need to make it real. What did he say exactly? I really like that. Oh, yesterday I used the great commandment as part of what I was saying. And it's Amos, Prophet Amos. And he says, what is a great commandment? If you're asked about what makes a good life, really? It's to do justice, love kindness. But what's the third piece? It's walk humbly with your God. It's not walk definitely, judgmentally with God. It says, walk humbly with your God. I'm starting to prefer the ones who don't believe in me. A reading from Kathleen McTeague, the last few sentences were, whether or not we find room in our theologies for the word God, the world itself calls us to imagine ourselves essential to this engaged holiness, bringing forth what is ours to give of creation and strength toward mending the broken world. She's talking about the world's possibilities shift and change each time we put ourselves into building something large and strong and beautiful. I wouldn't get hung up on the large and strong piece, because that's what we tend to do and then think, I can't do anything. So why adjust this stone? Why mess with it? Because I can't build the whole fence and put it back together, large and strong. But when we put ourselves into being a part of that larger holiness, engaged holiness. Last Monday was my day off. And at one point, I found myself in the Hendersonville Community Co-op in conversation with the woman who was eating lunch. I thought I was just going in to eat lunch, but it was somebody who knew me. She's a wife, a mother, a nurse. And she said, you know, I come to church off and on, but Unitarian Universalists are so socially active. They think it seems to be that that's what it's about, and that that's not her. It just doesn't fit her. And I said, exactly. We've been talking about that a lot in the last few weeks. That if we live with our energy connected to our gifts as a creature of creation, bringing forth what is ours to give, actually engaging the holiness of life, trusting ourselves and our living, we will be helping to mend the world. We also talked about the difficulty of being an introvert or not being an A-type personality or not, you know, assuming these things and it being different, but so move in. But think about her. She's a partner. long-term partner. She's a mother and a nurse and this delightful human being. And when she sees me, she smiles and is glad to see me. I know that when I see her, that she'll engage me in interested and interesting conversation. She's appreciative. She puts good energy into the day, and then she puts it into my day. Don't discount what you do when you are being more fully who you are. Trust yourself. There are many ways to help life fit together well. A slightly broadened understanding of E.B. White's quote came to me this week and helps me here. We don't need to be so torn between a desire to improve the world and a desire to enjoy the world. They aren't exclusive. For those of us who hold these concerns together, they go together. In other words, if we want to do good things, if we want to change the world, I bet most of us here do in one way or another. And then we also know that we need to figure out how to live in a connected, joyful way. They'll go together for us. We not only enjoy by getting or noticing or experiencing joy, we also enjoy. We bring joy into the world by how we interact and connect joyfully ourselves. It's just all about the task. It's about how we engage. I'd like to distinguish joy here from happiness and entertainment and distraction. It's real felt connection with life's goodness. It's that moment of actually going, oh yeah, I belong. I belong to life. I am in right relationship. We are creative. The woman who spoke with me at lunch brought joy into the world. She enjoyed the world. Think what she does as a mother, a partner, a woman, a person, a nurse, some every day. Over the last month, I've been trying to empower us with a connected sense of ourselves so we might actually feel strong, each of us, as ever hopeful gardeners of the Spirit. Even as events and media and busyness scare us, anger us, and threaten to take us completely away from ourselves. Creativity has been our theme, and I realize I have to state this over and over again. That's not as art. Every time I bring it up, people start talking about making art. It's not as art necessarily, but as connection to the energy of creation, our creation that has made us. And we began with thinking about the sun as not just a physical reaction, but as generous, just putting that word to it. We could go downstairs and you could argue with me that it's not really generous. You know, how can you do that? There's not a sun being. And are you trying to start a religion of the sun? They did that in Egypt and all of that. But all I'm saying is you just put the word generous to it. We've simply attributed generosity to it. I read from cosmologist Brian Swim, who goes so far as to say, human generosity is possible only because at the center of the solar system, a magnificent stellar generosity pours forth free energy day and night without stop and without complaint and without the slightest hesitation. 4 million tons per second of sun become light. This is the way of the universe, he said. This is the way of life. We begin each morning and live each day inside the simple truth. A gorgeous living earth drifts light as a feather around the great roaring generosity of the sun. He goes on to say that every child should learn the simple truth. She is the energy of the sun, and we adults should organize things so her face shines with the same radiant joy. Simple truth. A child is the energy of the sun, and we adults should organize things so that the child's face shines with the same radiant joy. This is power that is in us. This is giving that sustains us. This is energy that is always trying to make itself known. Swim brings us back to the word joy. Right, noticed connection with life, energy, and belonging that shines forth, given half a chance. The last sentences give us purpose and reason, meaning and reward, structure and beauty. I went on, as I talked about the sun, to say that when I look on our roof, I see the solar panels as more than flat glass boxes that cut down on the electric bill. You'll see on the monitor downstairs, you'll actually see what they're doing. And Joe told me that if they're not looking like they're doing anything, it's just because the program's not working. It's not that the panels aren't working. So we're going to be generating 10 kilowatts per hour and 85% of our power there. But I said they were also a statement of hope. They were what younger members actually said they wanted to see a congregation do. That they were the strongest thing that we could do to make a statement. They're a statement that we are committed to the future and believe we can make a difference to the future and in the present. We are responding to global warming. And I said, we are a people, shows we are a people with hope who practice hope, and hope lives here. A statement for sustainability, not just that we'll live off the past, but live with what we are given each day. Not that we'll just live worried about the future, but live fully with what we are given each day. The fossil fuels we're using to support our way of life are an accumulation of sun energy from 290 to 350 million years ago. The panels take in the daily generosity. We won't just use up the past with no regard for the future. We care. And I would add that by caring, we enjoy the present. The panels are also a statement of persistence and patience over time, discouragement and bureaucracy. Here, success is measured not just by the project, but by the process and participation and persistence. They're a statement of who we are, more telling than a chalice. They are a symbol, a comfort, an inspiration, and a challenge. They should be an orientation every time we look at them. I then took these connections and directions and suggested that we might consider saying, using solar powered as a tagline for who we are, as in a solar powered congregation. I misplaced those pages, so that's all right. So what did I mean about practice hope? Mark Mullinax talked earlier this month, April 3rd, I think, and his title of his talk was, Hope, Hype, or Practice? Practice hope. Most of his forms of hope that he presented were in the distance, and I'm going to distinguish two types, two forms of hope here, so that we can actually feel like we can practice hope. Most of our notions of hope are vague. They're a hope that the future will be different. And as much as it is out there, it tends to be a word we don't connect with very well in the sense of, how can I practice hope? If you take global warming, you're standing here, right? And the future, making a difference, is out here. It's actually not out here, it's out of view. You can't even see it. So how can what I do here make a difference there? And what fills the space between here and there? What's the word for no hope? Despair. What do you feel when you think about what would happen in the future if we don't make a difference? You're afraid. There's fear. There's despair. So then actions to get there are driven what? By fear, despair, lack of hope, rather than that connection and love for life. There is another form of hope that resides in and that we overlook all the time. It's hope in. It's hope that resides in our very living all the time. It's fundamental hope. They're not an either or. It's just this is what sustains. It's the hope that you can know joy and beauty in the present no matter the future. Think that again. Think that in relation to illness. Think that in relation to death. Think that in relation to many things. But there is a fundamental hope in, a connection, a rightness with life that isn't in opposition to a hope that, but that makes it possible to carry on and be committed, be connected, know joy in the present. Not all the time, but given half a chance, it's trying to come forth all the time. Hope in is being in touch with the sun's energy in those moments, with our creativity and giving it credit. When I say in joy, I mean living as if your life mattered, with moments that make you smile in appreciation. And if you don't feel that in the moment, to know that you can, no matter the future, it's fundamental, it's foundational. Like we say, the sun shines. Check the monitor. There is your uniqueness, your goodness, creation, energy of life, flow. I went to the acupuncturist, Richard Kerber, and he just started talking about the different levels of qi. You know about qi, and you think about qi, and I went, wow, the Chinese had language for this thousands of years ago. It's what moves us out of depressed and lost to oriented and resilient. It's what puts a little spring in your step or awareness. You're awake, maybe wide awake, maybe just a little awake, but not weighted down, not always just flat and heavy because of the future. Here's where I bring in the title for today, Cold Mud and Jonquils. I think that's a good creative and practical image for understanding hope and joy. From the Soul Matters materials for April, it says, are your decisions based on fear or creativity? That's the question to ponder. Catherine Butler Hathaway says, I invented this rule for myself to be applied to every decision I might have to make in the future. I would sort out all the arguments and see which belong to fear and which to creativeness, and other things being equal, I would make the decision which had the larger number of creative reasons on its side. Arguments belong to fear, the ones that belong to creativeness, other things being equal, I would make the decision which had the larger number of creative reasons on its side. Then she says, I think it must be a rule something like this that makes jonquils and crocuses come pushing through cold mud. I don't do the math of weighing differences so much as I work with that image for joy, for in joy, for pushing through. I said that figuring a creative response or action that fits our vision and our nature in response to all that seems beyond our control is empowering and actually world-changing. Reaching toward the sun pushes the cold mud aside. And I would say, too, that if you look at the panels, the jonquils grow along the steps and beside the building below the solar panels. What they do is they give them shape and color, connection and beauty. What did I say earlier about not feeling flat? That's with an L. And being flat, but alive and with shape. And that's where the panels, as a metaphor, don't quite work. But then you add the jonquils into that, and there it is. The sun's energy formed into life. When we are weighted down, not just by mud, but cold mud, it's that flat surface. That flat surface of an ominous future. That flat surface of big fear. What happens? Beauty comes pushing through. Sun energy, life force. And what do we do first thing? We discount it. That's just a jonquil. What are you talking about? That's just a sprout. Oh yeah, I see that. I got to go now. Beauty comes pushing through. Sun energy, life force. The joy is a thing of beauty. The jonquils are things of beauty. We have that in us all the time. The ability to enjoy, to push through cold mud. House Bill 2. Yesterday, no, it was yesterday, it was Friday. Seems like yesterday. Many of us pushed through the mud of schedule and responsibility, and we showed up. We experienced the joy of showing up. Ask the people who were there if there wasn't joy in that gathering. Was there joy in that gathering? Can I hear an amen from those who were there? Amen. There was. It wasn't that we struggled into the had to. We went to the group. We showed up. We were standing with. We were caring together. We experienced that community of difference. There were moments of connection in the wholeness and inclusiveness of that radiant joy we're talking about shining on a person's face. It's not a big deal. That's the problem with it in this dramatic world. It's just the gentle rightness of love. When I made my remarks and were thinking about it, I realized I could be angry about the bill. I could jump into the oppositional anger of why it's stupid and wrong and manipulative and, an affront to the people of North Carolina. But I wasn't going to say that in my out loud voice. And so I moved into more the inclusional space of thanking the legislators for actually making me aware of my transgender brothers and sisters and their situation in a way that I went from just passing on it and thinking, well, yeah, I care about this. It's good, to caring about it. And that shift moved me into enjoy. You see the difference? It moved me from flat to connected. It moved me from just passing by to, oh, this is good life just to feel this, the gentle rightness of love. It's available to us every day. Every morning, and I have this is about every morning too. I have this pin that a young man from the Gay and Straight Alliance said, will you wear this pin? And I said, what does the pin say? And it says, it's a hashtag, it says, I'll go with you. And what it means is, I'll go with you to the bathroom. I'll accompany you. And I said, how fun is that? Sure, I'll. So, we quoted, or I did, Mary Oliver's morning poem, and it begins with, every morning the world is created. Is created. Every morning there is the sun again. Every morning the world is created. Enjoy. Something like this makes jonquils come pushing through cold mud, reaching towards the sun pushes cold mud aside. Let's keep reaching towards the sun. Let's keep pushing that cold mud aside. Let's change the flat to alive. Create joy. Enjoy. Cold mud and jonquils. Every day is Earth Day.